Welcome to the BGR Review, where we take off our 21st century American lenses and instead look at current events, relationship issues, and cultural trends from a biblical perspective, and I am your host, Larry Solomon. This week, by popular demand, I've had several people ask me to do an audio version of an article that I wrote way back in 2016, and that article is entitled, Does the Bible Allow a Husband to Spank His Wife? And of course, I wrote that article on biblicalgenderroles.com. If you go to biblicalgenderroles.com and you type in wife spank, this article will come up. So, I started off the article by just kind of giving a little historical background on wife spanking. So, I mean, today, if you say wife spanking, people are going to think of it in the sexual connotation in most cases, because that's the only way people really can even conceive of it today. Like, you got the 50 Shades of Grey and some other movies and things, that books that are popularizing wife spanking as a sexually erotic activity. And so, you know, women are all getting on board and wanting to do this. but we're talking about here in this article, I'm talking about wife spanking in the historical sense of the word, in the, you know, looking at it from the cultural sense of the word, and then we're going to look at it and we're going to compare it to the Bible, because even if a culture practices something, whether it's modern culture or ancient cultures practice something, that doesn't make it all automatically right because the culture decided at that point, the majority of people decided that that was good to do. The truth is, there are things that ancient cultures did which were unbiblical, or allowed, which were unbiblical. And there are things which our culture, modern Western culture, American culture, allow, which is also unbiblical. But first, I want to get into just giving a little bit of a background on this. There's a story that was told in the London Quarterly Review in 1874 of a case that an Irish judge had decided about a century before that, so in the late 1700s. And they described the case in this way. It was a woman trying to bring a divorce suit against her husband for giving her a beating. And we don't mean, you got to be careful of what the word, a beating doesn't necessarily mean what we think it does today. You know, fist punching and you know, pulling hair and knocking people around. It can be that. But it can also be just, you know, a switch or a paddle, a spanking, really. So here's what they describe of the case. A similar doctrine had been laid down by Dr. Marmaduke Coghill, judge of the prerogative court in Ireland, who in a suit by a wife for divorce on the ground that her husband had given her a sound beating, delivered a well-considered opinion that with such a switch as the one he held in his hand, moderate chastisement was within the matrimonial privileges of the husband. So we have a case decided, you know, well, probably 2.5 centuries ago, that upheld that this was part of a husband's privileges to be able to spank his wife with a whip, okay? But then you fast forward to 1850, okay, and things had changed. So less than a century later, things had changed. And in the United States, in 1850, Tennessee became the first state to outlaw wife beating. Okay? So the question then is, how did society make that leap? Okay. So the way we made that leap is that back in the late 1600s, a man named John Locke came up. He literally invented, within his philosophy, a new social class. Previous to John Locke, all cultures throughout the world pretty much accepted the premise that there were three main social classes, and then maybe some secondary social classes after those three main ones. But the three main social classes of any civilization were men, women, and children. Okay? And so women had more rights than children, and men had more rights than women. Or you could say the other way, that children had the least amount of rights, but they still had rights. Wives had less rights than their husbands, but more rights than their children. Okay. So John Locke came along, and he introduced this novel concept that fathers and mothers were equal. They were equal and they had equal rights over their children to decide their destiny of their children, to decide what their children should or should not do. And husbands and wives, they were equal as husbands and wives as well, and that neither had power over the other one. Okay? And this was in the late 1600s when he said this. This was revolutionary, okay? And now, of course, he also came up with the rule that the feminists love all that he wrote. They love it. But what they don't like is that he called men the stronger and more abler of the two sexes, and they were the ones, because obviously men and women, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, aren't always going to agree, so one has to have the final say. So basically, they're partners, but one has to have the tie-breaking vote if they can't make a decision. But what he did was he invented what we know as today the adult social class. So when you say men and women are both adults and should be able to do what they want, John Locke gave you that concept. That concept did not exist before the late 1600s, okay? And what he did was he basically eradicated the classes of men and women, okay, that had existed for the whole history of human civilization, and he just made this new adult social class, making men and women equals, okay? And you must treat me as an adult, i.e. equals, okay? And so that's where you come into this whole ideology of adulthood, and that's what led to, I'm going to read here from another judge in 1871 who condemned any kind of wife discipline, okay? He said this, in 1871 in the Alabama case of Fulgham versus the state, the court said this, "Since then, however, learning with its humanizing influences," in other words, humanism, because humanism was a massive influence on America's founding and even before that, in the centuries before that. "So, since then, however, learning with its humanizing influences has made great progress." We're making progress, progressives, right? "And morals and religion have made some progress with it. Therefore, a rod which may be drawn through the wedding ring is not now deemed necessary to teach the wife her duty and subjection to the husband." Now, of course, you know, feminists still wouldn't like that the judge in 1871 said wives have a duty and subjection toward their husbands. But leaving that aside, "the husband," they continue, "the husband, therefore, is not justified or allowed by law to use such a weapon," so we're calling now a switch a weapon, "or any other for her moderate correction. The wife is not to be considered as the husband's slave." We're going back to John Locke, and John Locke saying that men don't have power over women in marriage or elsewhere, that women have power over their own lives, okay? If men have power over women, that in essence makes them slaves. This is where this whole ideology came from, okay? "So the wife is not to be considered as the husband's slave." So if he uses corporal discipline on her, that's treating her as a slave, okay? "And the privilege, ancient though it may be," so he acknowledges that this is an ancient privilege. This goes way back. This is acknowledged since the beginning of human history that husbands have a white right to physically discipline their children, but we know better. We know better. We have progressed. We are humanists. We have progressed. We know better, okay, than all these dull people in the past, right? "So, and the privilege, ancient though it may be," he says, the court said, "to beat her with a stick, to pull her hair, choke her, spit in her face, or kick her about the floor, or to inflict upon her like indignities, is not now acknowledged by our law." So again, this is the classic, you know, tactic of those who attack, you know, historical practices or biblical practices or, you know, things that they don't like in our society, what liberals especially do, is what you do is you take the most extreme things that we would disagree with, right? So, like, I don't agree with a man pulling a woman's hair. I don't agree with a man choking a woman, you know, spitting on her, you know, kicking her. Okay. But you could separate those things as the judge back in the late 1700s did with the whipping of the wife, okay, from simply the spanking or the whipping of a wife, okay? We can agree that just as parents can overdo things with a child, so a husband can overdo things with his wife. And I'm kind of giving away my position on this, but I think you guys know where I'm going on this. But going back to this, we see that it's an ancient privilege. It is something that society accepted, but now with the advent of John Locke, individualism, the adult social class, remember that, the adult social, there's no more men, women, and children. There's adults and minors, or adults and children. That's it. Okay? That's John Locke's paradigm. That's what we teach today. There's adults and children. There's not a male social class, a female social class, and a child social class anymore. Okay? And I'm going to be doing a series. I'm going to be posting that actually with this episode when I put this up here. A separate series. It's not part of not the BGR review, but I have a learning series as well. That's just lessons on various topics, topical lessons, but they're broken up into different lessons, like one large topic. And I'm going to be doing a series. I've already recorded the first few episodes. A series on John Locke and how we got the adult social class and why the adult social class is unbiblical. That it doesn't fit with the biblical paradigm of social classes. That God actually designed, it's right in the scriptures, the social classes of men, women, and children. It's biblical. Okay, and the whole paradigm, it's a false paradigm, and that's my series, is the false paradigm of the adult social class. It is a false paradigm. So, ladies, as you're listening to this, before we even get into wife spanking here more, you need to rid from your mind that entire concept of there are only adults and children. And if my husband does not treat me equal as a man, okay, then he is treating me as a child. If he treats me with different rights than a man, then he's treating me like a child. Okay? That's unbiblical. That is a false paradigm. That is a false thought. You need to erase that thought from your mind. And I encourage you to listen to my series. And you might say, oh man, you're going to do a whole series on this. And how can you do a series on it? Why don't you just do one lesson? I'm just telling you, I started trying to do one or two on it. And I just realized, no, I need to break this up. There's so many pieces of it. And I'm going right off of an article that I wrote about John Locke's invention of the social class. So you can kind of get a preview of where I'm going, but I'd like you to listen to the series as well. I'm going to add some things in that as well. So with that being said, so even though wife spanking did come to be outlawed in the United States in any kind of physical discipline, corporal discipline, that's what that is, physical punishment of husbands towards wives eventually became illegal throughout the United States, really up until the 1950s, a lot of men still practiced it, and you could see it in movies. There's like all kinds of old movies that you will see a wife spanking in. One of my favorite movies of all time with John Wayne, The Quiet Man, has wife spanking in it. And there's Westerns that have wife spanking in them. Up until like the 1970s, late 60s, 1970s, you still had shows, TV shows, movies, things like that, that displayed wife spanking in them. Okay, but then it was in the 1960s and 70s with second wave feminism, that lovely time where they just totally went after gender roles at the jugular, basically. That they had the whole domestic violence movement, advocated for domestic violence laws, and now wife spanking was classified as domestic violence, and eventually They were coming to try and classify even spanking of children. That spanking of children is domestic violence, and you could read that online, like in a lot of American websites and things like that. The spanking of children is domestic violence, and most people don't realize this, that there are several countries in the world, lots of countries. Sweden first did it, I think, in the 1970s, but there's all kinds of countries over the last 40 years that have literally outlawed parents spanking their children. Corporal punishment, period, for anyone is outlawed, period. Okay? So, and of course, we have progressed, like this judge said. We're modern. We understand. We're humanists. We understand that corporal punishment is barbaric and it's wrong. And even though, as we'll show here, the Bible actually very much commends and recommends corporal punishment, and it's not barbaric. So, and that just brings me to the next point here, is that the Bible says that we are not to be conformed to our culture. That culture, American culture, should not tell you what you think. Your feelings should not tell you what is right or wrong. The culture should not tell you what is right or wrong. The Bible is what is to tell you, folks, what is right and wrong. Men, husbands, wives, children, the Bible, not your feelings, not what your parents say, not what the culture says, but what the Word of God says. Romans 12:2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I could fill in here, "And be not conformed to American and Western culture." Do not let American and Western culture tell you what is right and wrong. Do not conform to it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 4:4, it says this, "But he answered," Jesus says this, "but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So folks, we are told in one sense, we are not to conform to what the world says, what American culture says, what our parents say, what the TV tells us, what advertisements tell us, what the value judgments we're told we're supposed to have. But we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the Bible, the Word of God. That is what we are to live our lives by. That is where our morality starts. Let me just tell you, wife, husband, wife, teen, listening to this, it will revolutionize your life. It will transform your life. Just like Romans 12:2 tells you, be transformed. It will transform your life. If you say, God, I'm not going to go by my feelings. I'm not going to go by my instincts. I'm not going to go by what my culture tells me. I'm not going to go by how I was raised. I'm starting over again from scratch. I am letting your word tell me how I should feel. I am letting your word tell me what is right and what is wrong. I will not trust my feelings. My feelings can deceive me. I will not trust what my culture says. My culture can be wrong. Your word is never wrong. It will revolutionize your thinking. And yes, it will change your thoughts. And it should. And you're going to start having countercultural thoughts. You're going to have your eyes awoken. Okay? To what is going on in the world, okay? I would liken it to, we're all familiar with the red pill, manosphere. In the manosphere, we're familiar with that, and I'll probably be doing some podcasts on that as well, comparing and contrasting that with biblical gender roles. but I do like that analogy, and I would use that, from a biblical sense, that just like in that movie, how Neo, this main character, figures out at the end of the movie, he sees the Matrix for what it is. He sees what's going on. He wakes up to it all, and now he sees it all. You could just see the entire thing, okay? That's what happens to us as Christians. When we see things through God's lenses, when we see male-female relationships through God's lenses, when we see social classes, when we see human rights through God's lenses and not what the UN says are human rights, not what the United States government says are human rights, but when we see it through God's lenses, it changes everything. It changes your whole perception. So I want to get now really, I want to dive here into what the Bible says about wife spanking. So, yeah, does the Bible specifically talk about wife spanking per se? No, but the Bible doesn't specifically talk about a lot of things. It doesn't talk about video games. It doesn't talk about phone sex. It doesn't talk about webcam sex. It doesn't. There's a lot of things the Bible doesn't talk about that are the modern things, and we have to apply biblical principles to those things. And some of these things aren't necessarily modern. Like, for instance, I just showed you that wife spanking is an ancient thing, okay? But the Bible doesn't speak to it. It doesn't say you can't do this. And it doesn't specifically say, okay, men, you can. But there are principles that I'm going to show you here that show that you actually can spank and that you should spank if it is possible to do this. And then I'm going to talk about that at the end where we need to be wise as serpents. So just bear with me, okay? And again, so I've already laid my cards on the table of why I believe it is actually biblical. But the Bible says this, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, okay? And I'm just giving you this as an example, okay? So why can we say that webcam sex is wrong? Like having virtual sex with somebody over webcam? Because you're not married to them. any sexual relations with somebody outside of marriage, period, virtual or otherwise, with another person, is a sin against God. Okay? It is a sin against God. Now, you can't, like I've said before, you can't have sexual relations with a picture. Okay? It's impossible. You can't. You can't look at an image of a woman, a painting of a woman, or even a video of a woman. It's not a webcam. It's not interactive. It's just a film, okay? You can't have relations with an image. You can have a relationship with a person on the other side of the image if it's a live cast or an interactive thing like phone sex. But you can't have sex anymore with a picture, a porn movie, say, okay, than you can with a doorknob, okay? It's an inanimate object. It's an object, period, okay? And that's another subject. I don't want to get into that. I'm going to be doing a series and talking about that as well. Podcasters, I've already written extensively on my blog about it. But so I just want to, you know, jump in here, just giving that as an example, okay? Now, let's jump right into physical punishment, or corporal punishment, as it's called, if you look it up online. Corporal punishment, physical punishment, okay? So today, we are taught that any kind of physical punishment, whether it be for criminals, wives, for children, for anyone, that it's uncivilized. And all of these great civilized, westernized nations have outlawed corporal punishment because it's uncivilized, okay? But what does God's word say? In Exodus 21, 26 to 27, it says this. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he shall smite out the manservant's tooth or maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for the tooth's sake. Okay? So, all right. Now let's look at this again. Okay? What is this concept? You're like, oh, wait a minute, that's not punishment. Okay, I'm going a little bit backwards here, but I just wanted to put this point in here. It's not always right there's not an unlimited way in which a corporal punishment can take place, and I'm going to show here in a second why the Bible actually very much allows corporal punishment. But before I say that, I'm saying up front that there are definitely limits on it, and that God even said for slaves, these were slaves, these were human property, okay, that a man could not do something that would damage his servant's eye or do something that would knock his tooth out. So what does that describe? Think about the way that you would do that. That means hitting someone in the face, as far as like with your fist, okay, like a closed fist, okay, could very easily damage a person's eye or knock a person's tooth out, right? So the Bible's saying here, you do not get to punch your slave, even though you own them. They are a human being. You do not get to punch your slave in the face as a method of discipline towards your slave. You do not get to do that, okay? Now, in the same passage, it talks about that they could beat their slave, like with a rod or whatnot, okay? Like on their back or whatnot. But they could not. This is really talking about, I believe, using a fist and punching someone in the face with it, okay? So that is never allowable. That kind of discipline that causes damage to someone's face or causes serious damage to their body, period, is not allowed by God, all right? But there's a difference between saying that, you know, whether, you know, it's the government, you know, punishing criminals or masters punishing their slaves, or parents punishing children, or husbands punishing their wives, to say that they should not abuse that ability, that right to discipline, the responsibility to discipline, okay? We could say that there's abuses of it, and there's limits on everything. There's no one has unlimited power. There's no human authority. Only God has unlimited power. No human being, except for Jesus Christ, the God-man, has unlimited power to do whatever we want. There are limits on what we can do, folks, okay? So, you know, we have to understand this from a biblical perspective. But now I want to look here, and I want to show you here, that the Bible does give husbands not only the right, but the responsibility to discipline their wives, okay? The Bible says this in Ephesians 5, 23 to 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands and everything. So the Bible here is comparing the relationship of Christ to his church to the husband and wife. So the way that the Christ deals with his church is the way that husbands are to deal with their wife. And of course, if we go down to the next part of Ephesians, we have Ephesians 25 to 27. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, liberal Christians and feminist Christians love the first verse, 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And they take "and gave himself for it" means he lives to make his wife happy. This is the goal of his life, is to make his wife happy. No, folks, that is not true. The Bible tells us right in verses 26 and 27, which are always skipped by liberal Christians and liberal Christian teachers, he didn't give himself to make his wife happy. He gave himself to make his wife holy. Listen to verse 26 and 27. Ladies, wives, listen to this. Teenage girls, listen to this. He gave himself for his church that he might sanctify. It means make her holy. It's another way of saying holy. It might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now remember, husbands are told to love their wives in this way as Christ loved his church. Husbands, give up yourselves to sanctify your wives. What does that mean? Sometimes we as husbands have to sacrifice our own happiness to stop and to discipline our wife, to correct or rebuke our wife, as I'm going to talk about in the next passage from Revelation 3:19. Sometimes we have to, it's easier sometimes to just let our wives do what they want and make it happy. Okay, fine, you know. It's a sacrifice for us to challenge our wives. But ladies, why did Christ give himself? Did he give himself to make his wife happy, or did he give himself to make his wife holy? Christ calls men to wash their wives with the word. That's to discipline their wives. That's to wash their spots and wrinkles. Your husband is called to identify your spots and wrinkles and to wash them, your spiritual spots and wrinkles, okay? Your behavioral defects, the way that you say things and wrong thought patterns. He's there to help wash that, to challenge you with the Word of God, ladies. That's what the Word of God says. He's not there. The central focus of his life is not to make you happy. Now, is it wrong for men to buy their wives flowers or do nice things for their wives? I do that for my wife. I like to make my wife happy. But if that becomes the central focus of my life, if I sacrifice my duty to correct her and to teach her in order to always make her happy, I'm failing as a husband. I am not loving my wife as Christ loved the church. Any husband who does not challenge and discipline his wife does not love his wife as Christ loves the church. That is the clear teaching of the Word of God. And I talked about a passage from Revelation. We're going to go to that. Remember, Ephesians says that husbands are the head of their wives as Christ is the head of the church, and husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. How does Christ love the church? Revelation 3:19, after Christ talked to his seven churches and rebuked six of them for their sin and threatened them with discipline, he says this to his churches, ladies, to his churches, husbands. He said this, Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If a man loves his wife as Christ loves the church, he will rebuke and chasten his wife. And chasten is a word for discipline. He will rebuke and discipline his wife. It is right there in the scriptures. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ says, of my churches, as I love, as many as I love my churches, I rebuke and chasten. It is crystal clear. It's not a gray area. folks. This is what the Bible says. It's not popular today. 95% of preachers will not teach this. I have heard a few online. I might do a review of one pastor that talked about challenging, that men need to challenge their wives. And he kind of went down this route a little bit, but he didn't go as far as what we're talking about here. But he did that, okay? So then it comes down to, okay, you can accept the fact, you go, okay, fine, Larry. I accept the premise that husbands, if they love their wives, must rebuke and chasten them, must rebuke and discipline their wives, if they love their wives. Okay, I accept that premise. But how do you jump from disciplining to corporal discipline, like corporal punishment? Because there's all kinds of different ways to discipline, and I've talked about that. I did a series of podcasts on ways to discipline your wife for men, and for wives to let their husbands wash them and discipline them. So, but I talked about many non-physical ways you could do it. So a wife could say, well, he could just discipline me in non-physical ways. Doesn't mean he has to or that he can spank me. So how do we get to that next point? Okay, listen up, and I'm going to show you how we get to that point. In Proverbs 13:24, it states this: he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So remember, discipline. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him disciplineth him. That's what it means. Disciplines him betimes. Okay? So we accept right there. Okay, and they say, well, that's talking about children. Okay, yes, it is in context. But we can see corporal discipline used from a parent to a child is shown by God, commanded by God. Okay? In the next passage here, it's commanded by God. Okay? And it's an act of love, okay? Proverbs 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Beatest him with the rod. We don't like that term beat. We have the idea of somebody punching somebody in the face. I've already said that's not right. That's sinful. No, but when the Bible's talking about beating, it's talking about like a spanking or a whipping on the back with a rod, okay? All right? Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. So there, it's commanded, okay? It is commanded there. So we are to use corporal punishment with our children. That's commanded by God. Now, is there an age limit on that? There's a debate about that. I'm not gonna settle in on that. I you know, there was a certain level that when my kids were teenagers that I didn't, you know, do corporal punishment anymore. But, you know, I know a lot of people that do. I could respect that. I mean, if you do. But, you know, for me personally, there was just reasons that I didn't do that. And I'm going to get into some of those at the bottom here really quick. I'm going to try and get there quickly. But Deuteronomy 25:1-3 states this: if there be a controversy between men, and they come unto the judgment, that the judges may judge them, that they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face. So he lies down with his face on the ground, okay? So his back is beaten, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. So in other words, don't go too far in this. You can beat him 40 times, give him 40 lashes on the back with his face to the ground. Okay? In Proverbs 19:29, we read, judgments are prepared for scorners, and the stripes for the back of fools. And that stripes, talking about being whipped, fools being whipped, okay? Proverbs 26:3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, a donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Okay? So the Bible shows us that not just children, not just should corporal punishment be used with children, it shows us that corporal punishment is allowed to be used for adults, okay? It's not a wicked thing to do. If you go overboard, it's wicked, absolutely. But the actual use of corporal punishment is not some horrible, bad thing, folks. And there was another passage that I meant to put on here. And it talks about foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him, okay? So I think that, me personally, that when I think of a child, I think of somebody who's a preteen, okay? And so that's where I think the spanking is most effective, especially with younger children, It is most effective, not like, oh, hey, you know, let's talk here, stand in a corner here. You know, I think that's what the Bible is talking about. But again, you know, different people have different positions on that, so I'm not going to take a big stake in that there. But the point is that the Bible allows physical discipline, okay? It allows it for why somebody might say, well, it doesn't command it. Okay, no, it doesn't command it, but it allows it. And ladies, what does Ephesians 5 say? It says, submit unto your husbands in everything. That the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. You don't get to choose how you're disciplined any more than your child gets to choose how they're disciplined. So if a husband wants to use physical discipline to discipline his wife, that is his right. And I believe in some cases, that many cases actually, it can be a wonderful thing for a marriage. That it demonstrates, each time a husband spanks his wife, it shows his authority over her. She acknowledges his authority over her by submitting to the spanking, as she should. It shows his authority over her body, or her spirit, his spiritual authority over her. It is a beautiful picture. And so I would challenge people who think that it's some disgusting thing and that it infantilizes women, and we're going to talk about here in just a second, to rethink that. I do not believe that at all. It actually can be a very productive tool. I've had wives where years back, I used to think, before I knew what the Bible said and before I knew that people practice that there are Christians out there, there's whole Christian groups, Christian domestic discipline groups that practice this, and wives gladly submit to this. I've had women write me from these groups and like, Larry, it is such a blessing to me. It is such a blessing to me that it shows my husband's love for me. It reminds me of our positions, our different positions, and it reminds me that I am his. All right? So I mean, I really encourage you to rethink that. I encourage you to if you need to mentor with a woman that understands the value of wife discipline, please email me, because I know people, women that can help you with this, that can help you woman to woman understand the value of wife spanking, that it's not a horrible thing. It's not some derogatory bad thing toward women. Okay? I just want to get really quickly here into the objections that people have. Like, people will say, well, you know, marriage is a partnership, not a patriarchy. Well, we've already shown clearly from the scriptures that it's not. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Marriage is not a partnership. And I've already discussed that this false proposition that men and women are both adults, therefore they're equals, and an adult shouldn't be spanked, and a husband shouldn't spank his wife because she's another adult. No, folks, that entire paradigm is false. Ladies, that's false. That's not true. And Christ or a wife is no more a partner with her husband than Christ is with the church. Read Ephesians 5. Does it say Christ and his church are partners? No. It says he is the head of his church. And as the church submits to Christ in everything, wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. And yes, that means the method of discipline. As long as the husband isn't punching you in the face and doing things like that, as long as the husband is doing it in a loving and in a controlled way, okay, you don't get to decide, ladies, what method your husband uses, okay? You don't get to decide what method of discipline he uses any more than your children could go, hey, mommy, I don't like this. I don't like how you punish me. You can't do that. Can you imagine that? And just even just the fact of disciplining even within the adult framework, okay? Because I talk about the adult framework here, and this was before I, you know, started dissecting the whole adult paradigm here when I wrote this article way back in 2016, okay? So I just talked about, you can't be punished because you're an adult. And I brought up a good point here. I said, even if you believe in the adult paradigm, which I believe is biblically false, okay, my boss can discipline me at work. My boss can write me up for things. A police officer can pull you over and give you a ticket. But yet we say that husbands, the most powerful human authority that God ever established, the only human authority that God said, submit unto as unto the Lord. He didn't say that about governors, police officers, parents, church leaders. He only said that about husbands. And we say, no, he's actually the weakest. He can't do anything. All he can do is lead his wife by example. That's what we're told in so many evangelical churches. Just lead by example. That's all you can do, is lead by example. Pray for your wife. Don't rebuke her. Don't chasten her. Don't discipline her in any way. Just lead by example and pray for her. Folks, that is a feminized view of the Bible. That is a corrupted view of the Bible. It is wrong. I have shown you here clearly from the scriptures. Read them yourselves. Read the scriptures in this article. Get your Bible out and read them. The so many teachers in the church today are absolutely wrong in this, and they have adopted false philosophies of the world. Okay? But the fact is, God's word says there are men, women, and children. Those are the three primary social classes that he designed. Okay? And women are not men. And women are not children. They are women. So I would just encourage you husbands. I've said this to my wife many times over the years. When they say, you can't treat me like a child, I'm an adult. I say, well, God doesn't acknowledge any such thing as an adult social class. Okay, that's man-made, number one. Number two, I'm not treating you as a child. I'm treating you as a woman, as a wife, as my wife. Okay? That's different. I'm treating you as a woman, not as a child. And yes, you have less rights than I do, and I have a responsibility toward you. And yes, you can be disciplined. Okay? Wives and children can be disciplined. That doesn't mean you're the same. It doesn't mean that you occupy the same position. You have a place of honor as my children's stepmother, that they are to honor you. Okay? And to honor you as an elder. Okay? You're not a child. Okay? And I'm not saying you're a child. You are a woman. I am a man. I am your husband. You are my wife. Okay? So anytime that wives, that goes to come out of your mouth, that should stop. You're treating me like a child. Stop. No. He's treating you like a woman. If he rebukes and chastens you, if your husband tells you what to do, if he tells you you cannot go to some person's house that he does not agree with, some woman that's been saying all kinds of nasty things that you're getting you to think unbiblical thoughts, no, I don't want you hanging out with her anymore. That's not treating you like a child. That's treating you like a wife. He has authority, remember, in everything. Except for telling you to sin, your husband has authority over you in everything. He is your spiritual authority, ladies. He has the ability to mold and shape you as Christ molds and shapes his church. He has a responsibility. I read it to you right there in Ephesians, ladies. Right there. He is to love you as Christ loved his church by washing you with the word. Washing your spiritual spots and wrinkles. Revelation. By rebuking and chastening you. By correcting you. By disciplining you, ladies. Washing you with the word. Rebuking, correcting, disciplining you, ladies. Okay? That is a husband's call. So I would really challenge ladies here to rethink the whole concept of wife spanking. It is not treating you like a child. I promise you, that is not treating you like a child. It is treating you like a woman. He's treating you like his wife. And it is a reminder, and you should willingly submit to this. You should get right over his knee or whatnot, the way he wants to do that there, and you should submit to it. And you should humble yourself. It's a humbling experience, and it's a good thing. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves. Humbling ourselves before our authorities is a good thing, ladies. It's not a bad thing, okay? But I just want to really quickly here in the last couple minutes here just address the men in this, okay? That I've said here and in other places that Christ told us in Matthew 10:16 to be wise as serpents, okay? So we need to realize that we live in a wicked world, husbands, all right? Yes, do we have the right to compel our wives to allow them to spank us? Do we have to get their consent? Oh, can you please sign this form? No, from God's perspective, absolutely not. We do not. We don't have to ask our wife's permission to spank her any more than a parent has asked their two-year-old permission to spank them. Again, women are not children, but I'm just framing this that, or even your 5 or 6 or 7 or 8-year-old, okay, make it older. It doesn't matter. We don't have to ask our wives permission to spank them any more than our wife has to ask her child, or as the mother has to ask her child permission to discipline the child, okay? So that's right there. We got to lay that out there. But we as men need to be wise as serpents, in the sense that realizing the world is against us as Christians. The world hates the Bible. The world hates biblical gender roles. It hates a biblical view of marriage. It hates a biblical view of rights, of human rights. Human rights, the Bible does teach human rights, but they're different. And the world hates the biblical social classes of men, women, and children. They only want adults and children. They hate the different social classes of men and women. They despise it. That's why they always say adults and children. There's only adults and minors. That's it. There's the only two classes are adults and minors. That's it. All right? They hate it. So in their hatred of it, okay, they will come against us as Christians. You could be arrested for trying to spank your wife. Your wife can pick up a phone and call the police, and you can be arrested. And I'm sure there's been men that have been. So you have to weigh that. So you have to go, hey, if I have a wife, and I've said it on here, if I tried to spank my wife would be on the phone to 911 and her dad, okay? So I've never raised a hand. Now, I've also said, you know, it's not the way I was raised either. My father disciplined my mother in non-physical ways. My father did not spank my mother, okay? So, but he did discipline her in other ways, okay? So I use non-physical discipline. I always have. I use taking away time, money, dates, things like that. You know, the silent treatment I've written about to get through to my wife, hey, you're in sin, you need to repent, okay? Men, I don't want you to listen to this and just go and try and forcibly grab your wife and throw her over. You know, I know that someone was, oh, that's my right. Maybe technically it is, but it's not always smart to exercise all of our rights when God gives us other ways that we can discipline, okay, without going to jail, without you know, us, you know, being taken away from our children, okay? So that's where, you know, and even with, you know, children, I know that some people have been reported even for spanking, so and they weren't abusing their children, but they just decided, hey, you know what, I'm going to move to non-physical discipline. And I understand why, because of this wicked world we're living in, folks. So that's why I encourage men to be wise as serpents, that yes, try and talk to your wife about wife spanking, and wives, you should submit to this if your husband wants to do this. Okay, but men, just be smart, be wise as serpents, as Christ said. And if you have a rebellious wife, a wife who refuses to obey her husband, a wife who refuses to submit to her husband in everything, and that includes wife spanking, that includes things you're not comfortable with, ladies. That includes things that you're like, oh, I don't really want to do that. Don't ask me to do something I feel uncomfortable with. No, you are to do what your husband tells you to do, okay? And yes, husbands, sometimes though you're gonna have a wife that's rebellious. You're gonna bring this to her. She's rebellious about it. She's not gonna want to do it. I would encourage you, if you see that kind of rebellion in her, step back a bit, use non-physical discipline, keep talking to her about it, see if you can get her to submit to that. That is the will of God. If God's leading you to as her spiritual head to do that, but don't needlessly, you know, get yourself, have the police called, and it's not worth it, folks. It's not worth it. But so anyway, that's pretty much it on wife spanking. That while the Bible doesn't specifically tell men that they can or can't, okay, it says that physical discipline is good. It recommends physical discipline, and not just for children. We showed that it recommends it for adults. And so the fact of the matter is no matter what the world says about how corporal punishment is uncivilized, the Bible doesn't present it that way. And if a husband wants to exercise this with his wife, it's not immoral. There's nothing in the scriptures that forbid it, okay? And it can actually have a very positive impact on the marriage. Okay, and again, I have had multiple women email me telling me how it has positively impacted their relationship with their husband. Okay, so again, email me if you listen to this and hey, I'd like to mentor with a woman that practices Christian domestic discipline and I want to see what that impact is in my life and my marriage. I can set you up with a woman that can mentor you in this way, if you're a wife. So thanks for listening. May God be with you. May God bless you. And come on back for the next episode.